Live Creative Now, episode 48.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hello, hello, hello. I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full color creative life. Whether you think of yourself as not artistic or not creative, or you identify as an artist of any kind or anything in between, no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive, and it's how you change the world. You might have heard my cat come in. If you heard a little squeaky meow, that's my cat, Nika, who came in at a very inconvenient time, but hello, kitty. Last episode, episode 47, I gave you a little peek into my week at the Friends of Calligraphy annual spring retreat, and how even though nothing panned out the way I hoped it would or planned for it to turn out, including the fact that I was plagued with headaches all week long, it still ended up being really wonderful. And I think you may learn something from that episode if you haven't listened. Kitty, are you hungry? You're going to have to wait because I'm podcasting right now. This episode, episode 48, is all about a creativity and productivity killer that you very well may be harboring without even realizing it. But before we get into that, I wanted to let you know that tomorrow, Thursday, is a very special day in addition to being St. Patrick's Day, and happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody who celebrates St. Patrick's Day. It's a special day in addition to that because I am offering a free class on how to beat the bane of every creative's existence, which is procrastination. I am going to be teaching the 6 keys you need to have in place to eliminate procrastination and unlock kick-ass productivity. You can register now at livecreativenow.com/procrastination. That's livecreativenow.com/procrastination. Again, it is totally free. It's my gift to you. And yes, I will be recording it, but I am only sending the replay link to people who register. So go to livecreativenow.com/procrastination and sign up. And now, on with today's episode. Live creative now. I got an email the other day from one of my students that made me really sad. She was talking about how challenging it's been for her to stay creative while she's dealing with this really scary illness in her family and being a caretaker and dealing with some other really serious life issues. So she knows that when she creates, everything goes better. She knows that. But way too often, she still can't seem to make it happen. She joined an online class on sketchbooking in the hopes that it would get her to keep a sketchbook of her daily life. It seems like such a great idea. But her sketchbook is mostly unused, doesn't use it much. She did one of my courses in the hopes that it would help her to stay creative and producing in the midst of everything that she's, you know, involved in, but she couldn't keep up. She was able to take a class at her local college several months ago, and she produced a number of finished pieces in that class, and that was so fulfilling. But when she's left to her own devices, she just feels lost. Oh my God, can I relate? That is actually one of the reasons why I'm a big believer in taking classes that force you to show up, because I tend to be more productive when I do that. In any case, I replied to her email with what I think is the most important thing in these kinds of circumstances, which I will get to in a moment. And she replied back, and she said something in her reply that reminded me of the first time I went to music camp, 2002, Puget Sound Guitar Workshop, PSGW. It was a week of music classes in the woods, and it cracked my heart wide open. Now, I was still a beginner at the time. Maybe I qualified as sort of an advanced beginner. I was definitely still in the beginning levels, though. I knew how to hold the guitar. I knew how to strum a few chords. But until music camp, until PSGW, I kind of felt like I was trespassing. Like I was somehow not really allowed to be part of this music world. And camp was so welcoming and so encouraging that by the end of the week, something had really shifted inside. And it felt really clunky to try to express it in words. It still feels really clunky to try to express it in words. But the way I could explain it was this. Music camp made me realize that I get to have music. I get to have it. I get to have it in my life in a really big way, and I get to determine what that looks like. Now, that may sound kind of obvious. Like, of course you get to have music. What the heck does that mean anyway? Well, let me explain. Before I went to PSGW, before my first music camp experience, I had this belief that I didn't even know I had. I had this mindset, or what I now refer to as a self-installed glass ceiling, this belief that said that music, playing guitar, singing, etc., music was something that you either did it as your full-time thing, it was your full-time job, or you didn't get to have it at all, except by, you know, maybe listening or something. I mean, totally ridiculous, right? And I mean, obviously, I didn't totally believe that because I had been taking guitar lessons, but there was some way in which I just didn't feel, I felt like a trespasser. And that story of like, you don't get to have music unless you do it full time, it's either full time or nothing, that story was so entrenched in my mind that I didn't even know it was there until I went to music camp. And that week at PSGW totally blew the lid off that story. It shattered that self-installed glass ceiling. It made me realize that I didn't have to be a full-time professional musician in order to have music in a really big way. I could dive into music as deeply as I wanted to. I got to set the terms of that relationship. So if I wanted to perform, I could make that happen. And I wouldn't have to have it be my full-time thing. I wouldn't have to drop everything else in my life and devote myself exclusively to music. I got to set the terms. And this shift from really all or nothing thinking, it changed everything for me. It's what gave me permission just a few years after I went to my first music camp, to start taking jazz singing classes at a community college. And that led me to sitting in practically every week, usually 2 to 3 times a week, at this regular jam session that used to happen at a restaurant nearby. That only came because I had this sense of permission that I got to have music in a big way. And then sitting in at this jam session led me to meet another singer who had regular gigs at another restaurant who offered me an opportunity to open for her one night. And that never would have come about if I hadn't had that sense of permission. Like, I get to have music in a big way. I get to go to this jam session. And yes, I get to open for this other singer. I get to perform like my own set. And that led me to starting to play gigs on my own, learning to assemble bands, learning to be a band leader, learning to be a confident jazz singer, singing for audiences, sometimes even paying audiences. And that led over the past couple of years to me playing around with looping, layering my voice and layering sound with an app on my iPad called Loopy HD. I'll leave a link to that in the show notes. So here I was playing around with looping and started in the past year. Yeah, it's been about a year. I started playing house concerts solo with just me and my ukulele. So previously I'd been performing, but it was always somebody else's music. It was always like a jazz standard, Great American Songbook song. And I had started writing my own music and I had started improvising with music with the looper. And, you know, over the years, because I had this sense of permission that I got to have music, it wasn't an all or nothing thing. I was writing songs. I was, again, improvising, creating new songs on the fly with my looper. And I had enough material and enough ability to improvise that I could entertain for 2 hours all on my own. That really boggles my mind because back in 2002, I had this belief that I didn't get to have music in a big way. And it was tiny little steps that came out of that revelation at music camp that I have permission. I have permission to create my own relationship with music and with performing. All of that took me down a path, little tiny step by little tiny step, that I never would have gone down if I'd been stuck in that all or nothing mindset. So back to that email that I got from my student, my reply included this. I wrote, FYI, I think the most important thing is to keep setting and resetting the intention and taking tiny actions, even if it feels like one tiny baby step forward and two steps back. The most important practice is just getting back on the wagon. Remember. And yes, I know that's two most important things, but I stand by it. Both of those things are really, really important. Setting and resetting the intention and just getting back on the wagon. Because the thing is, all or nothing thinking invariably leads us nowhere. It leads to nothing. From my own experience, if I was going to have to be a full-time professional musician in order to dig my teeth into making music, honey, that was just never going to happen. And if I had to be a full-time professional artist in order to paint or draw, no way. And actually, I did become a full-time professional artist, ketubah artist, and I'll leave a link to where you can see my work. And that burned me the heck out because I wasn't creating to please myself. I wasn't creating for the joy of it. I was creating to please my clients and to make money. Now, there's nothing wrong with that arrangement. If that's the thing that works for you, awesome. I just hope that you still make time to play as well, because otherwise you probably will burn out. Nothing wrong with the arrangement, but it's not a deal that I am interested in striking anymore. And the important thing to remember is that it's not the only deal in town. To talk about what my student said about she signed up for one of my classes and she couldn't keep up. When I sign up for a new class, I'm always afraid I won't be able to keep up. But if I can get really clear on my intention, and if I can see the class not as, I have to do everything or I'm a failure, but instead as, you know, I know I'm not going to manage to participate in everything, but I want to get XYZ out of this class, and I'm going to focus on that. if I can look at the class that way, then I can focus my energies on enjoying and appreciating what I'm getting rather than lamenting about what I'm not getting. You know, my whole music career, if you could call it that, I could have spent the past 15 years thinking, God, I'm not a world-class jazz singer, or I'm not, I don't know, a full-time musician, I'm not touring the world or whatever, because I wasn't doing those things. I wasn't those things. But instead, I chose to focus on what I did get to do. Oh my gosh, I get to stand up on a little stage and perform for people. I get to play in somebody's living room, and people actually pay me a little money for that. Like, that's so freaking cool. I get to have the thing that I was really hungry for as a singer, as a songwriter, as a musician, even if it didn't come with this sort of package that I used to think it had to come with, if that makes sense. The thing is that there are infinite possibilities for the relationship between you and your chosen creative expression, or expressions plural, if you're a passion pluralite like me. You get to set the terms. And if you're feeling stuck, if you're not making the time, if you're avoiding that creative thing that you most want to do, I suggest that it is time to take a hard look at the stories you're telling yourself, those self-installed glass ceilings. Is there a voice that tells you that, yeah, it's not worth it if I can't spend hours every day, or it's not worth it if I can't be world-class, or whatever your expectation is? Is there an all-or-nothing glass ceiling above your head? What is your real intention? What are you really hungry for? Now, if it's to be famous or to make $1 million or whatever, hey, more power to you. I don't have a whole lot of advice for how you can go do that, but if that's what you want, that's great to be clear on that intention. And if your intention instead is to experience the joy and fulfillment that you feel when you do the things you love, and to maybe be like me, always pursuing a greater level of mastery, because I'm kind of driven that way, you know, as long as I'm not being pursuing perfection, which is paralyzing, but just, I want to get better. Well, then just keep hitting the reset button on that intention, whatever your true intention is, and keep moving forward. Tiny baby step after tiny baby step. And you might be really surprised at how far you get. And even more importantly, though, you'll enjoy the journey a whole lot more. That's what I have to share with you today. That's a wrap. Before I sign off, just a quick reminder that tomorrow I'm giving a free class on the 6 keys to eliminate procrastination and unlock kick-ass productivity. And you can register at livecreativenow.com/procrastination. Again, I will be making a recording, but I'm only going to be sending the replay link to people who have signed up in advance. So go register at livecreativenow.com/procrastination, and hopefully I'll see you there. And until next time, thanks again for joining me, and go get creating. Mwah! Live creative now. Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.